You were on holiday. Welcome back from your break. I hope you had a really restful time. We want to just say a very quick hello. Monica and Trish's parents are here. Welcome. Can you stand up real quick? 안녕하세요. Welcome. They're visiting here from Sydney. Okay. So Esther chapter 4, before I get to that, I'm just going to share a few simple words on fasting. But before I do that, I want to emphasize that we are having our baptism service. It's coming up on the 29th of January. And we're gonna put the tank right here in the front. And so it's going to be a really exciting. And so some of you guys won't be able to see. We'll have it on video and everything. It's going to be a wonderful time. If you have never been baptized before, or maybe you were baptized as an infant, you know, and we're not saying that's disqualified. That's not what we're saying. But we believe in what we call a believer's baptism. And we believe that the individual decides, not the parents. You know, the parents do that, and that's fine. You know, and that's meant as a statement of promise. You know, in our tradition, right? In different traditions, it's different, right? In our tradition. So if you were baptized as an infant and you would want to do a believer's baptism, we invite you to come. You need to talk to Pastor Eugene probably today. I think today's the deadline to do that. We have a class next week on Saturday that you get information on. And then on the 29th, you'll come and be baptized here in the front. And I'm really excited. You know, there's two things I wanted done at the new sanctuary. I want to be able to marry people, right? And then I want to be able to dunk people, right? And so, you know, baptize people, right? And so, my dreams are coming true, right? So I guess I could just die now and everything would be okay. And so now that's done. A few simple words on fasting. As we're entering this season, you know, as Stanley very nervously shared with us, I've never seen you so nervous in my life, man, you know, this is day 7. I hope you're remaining strong. You know, I shared last Sunday, most of you should be hitting phase 3 by now, and you should be over the hunger and everything, and should probably be steadying on in a very good pace and really enjoying this time. And these are just some questions that I want to ask you, just kind of like a heart check, you know, for many of us right now. The first one is, am I confident that this desire to fast is God-given? You know, and then what type of fast does he want me to undertake? Remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast. And so maybe, you know, you started doing something, and it could be that the Lord may be convicting you to change it up. You know, maybe it's not being effective for you. Maybe you need to change the mode, the method, or whatever the case may be. And so you need to make sure that every day, right, that we're giving it this, our motivation before the Lord. The other question I want you to ask is, you know, are my motives right? You know, is there any hidden desire to impress others? You know, any hidden desire to impress the pastor or other, you know, congregants or whatever the case may be, is this fast unto the Lord? Remember, the Bible tells us that your Father who sees in secret will reward you, right? So make sure that our motivations are not in secret, right? They're exposed before the Lord. So make sure our motives are correct. Then ask yourself, what are my spiritual objectives during this fast? You know, what am I seeking to gain from this? Is it personal sanctification? Is it intercession? Are there special burdens right now? Is there divine guidance that we're looking for? Or are we just seeking to be a blessing and receive a blessing? Or are we asking God for revival? Or are we doing this to be a part of the church because the church is doing it? You know, that this is, you know, what we do as a body of Christ. And since I'm part of this body of Christ, this is what I do. You know, and so, you know, what are these objectives, right? As Paul would tell us, that I press on toward the goal. Another question that you may ask is, am I determined above all else to minister to the Lord during this fast? And this is probably the most important question that we can ask. You know, as we enter in, and sure, we're depriving ourselves of certain things. Am I ministering to the Lord? You know, am I be pleasing to God, right? You know, I mean, you know, what would benefit us if we're fasting, you know, and yelling at our wife, you know, and hitting our kids, you know, and, you know, yelling at our subordinates at work, or have bad attitudes, you know, with our bosses. You know, I mean, what is to be gained by that? You know, so are we ministering to the Lord? Is this unto God? You know, are we stealing away time to be with God? Not just merely sitting and not, you know, eating, right, or enjoying the things that we're laying down, but are we spending time with God? Remember, right? Fasting without prayer is dieting. You know, if you're dieting, that's fine, but that's not fasting, right? And so are we making sure, you know, the Bible tells us they're worshiping the Lord with fasting, you know, and part of that is early morning prayer. You know, I look at this room right now, this room is almost packed, right? This is just the first service. We have another service that's just as packed, right? But yet when we come to morning prayer, right, we have about 50% of this room, you know, that comes out to the morning. And so, you know, it doesn't take a math genius to do the math, right? It means a lot of us are not showing up in the morning. I'm not saying this is mandatory, right? But this is part of the fast, you know? And if you're fasting right now, I know some of you guys have to work and, you know, some of you guys are teachers and you have to get in class. I totally understand that, right? And so I'm not demanding, you know, any service from you or anything like that. But if you're able to do this, you know, and many of you are, you know, if you're able to come and join alongside, and we don't just, you know, pray for ourselves, right? We pray for Hong Kong. We pray, you know, for situations going on in the world. We pray for our members. You know, every morning we lift them up before God as you would pass your prayer requests, you know, on to Bonnie. You know, and this is what the people of God do. We pray together. And so I want to encourage you, you know, you don't have to come every morning. You know, it'll be good for you if you did. Right? You don't have to come every morning, but just make it a goal to come a few days the morning, to come together and pray and seek God's purposes together, right? Because if we're fasting, you know, I know you pray on your own, right? And I understand that, but there's something about the body of Christ. There's a dynamic at work, right? There's an anointing when we come together as a body. You know, it's no joke that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You know, there's something about people coming together, right? And you can pray on your own, and that's effective. You know, I don't want you to misunderstand me, right, and stuff. And it's effective, but there's something about coming together as a body. You know, and some of you guys that are teachers, we pray Saturdays, right? I mean, you can come out on Saturdays, and that's your once a week, and, you know, and that's fine. You know, but make an effort for us to do that. Amen? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. I'll see you tomorrow morning, right? You know, honestly, you know, my heart, my goal, you know, I'm glad you guys show up on Sunday. I just be very real, very honest with you guys. I'm glad you guys show up on Sunday, you know, but, you know, if you want to make your pastor happy, if you want to make me ecstatic with joy, I'd rather you show up during early morning prayer. You know, Sundays, you kind of have to show up, you know, because you're religious. Right, and that's kind of what you're taught, you know, that's how you grew up. But there's something about sacrificing during the week, especially before work times. You know, I mean, there's something quite significant about that in our life. And I just share that with you. Obviously, I want you to come on Sundays too, you know, and so it's like, all right, I came on Monday, I'm off, you know, I'm off on Sunday. No, that's not really the case, right? But make sure. Another kind of word of advice I want to share with you is, you know, do not make the mistake of judging the effectiveness of your fast and intercession by what you feel. Right? Very clear. Do not make the mistake of judging the effectiveness of your fast and intercession by what you feel. You know, often in seasons of prayer and fasting, you'll find the going harder a lot of times, you know, than easier. You know, and you may seem at times to experience less rather than more liberty. You know, this is often, right, when this is happening, this is the wrestling. You know, this is the heavenly warfare that's taken place. You know, the captain of the hosts, he didn't promise you a walkover, you know, but he promised you a fight, and he promised you weapons of warfare to win in this fight. It's a battle. And often you will not see till later the full results. You know, the promise still stands that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk not by what we experience, but we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You know, and I found this true in my life. I'll just be honest. I found this true in my life. A lot of times, you know, and we'd like to think that when we're fasting that we're touching heaven's gates and things like that. But what's happening is a battle is raging. And you'll find that after the fast, you begin to experience the rewards, you know, and the blessing of that fast. I mean, things do happen in the midst. But in my own personal experience, and I don't know how many, you know, extended fasts I've been on, and I find that it's after the case. Right, it's after that season, and even when we talk about prayer, you know, I pretty much laid out the whole preaching calendar for this year already, you know, that because we're going to spend the whole year on prayer, And I, you know, and in prayer, you know, honestly, in my personal opinion, and speaking to a lot of other people that pray, you know, and that are you know, really committed to the Lord in prayer, you find that it probably takes about 2 months, right, to get your prayer life in operation, right? In other words, you don't actually feel the results of your prayers after about 2 months. You know, I don't know why, you know, that is. You know, I've heard people say, you know, talk about certain days, you know, for a habit, you know. I heard people say 40 days or 50 days or whatnot, and a habit is established or whatnot. But it seems like that two-month barrier, you know, we're praying, and what happens, I think, in those 2 months is our prayer muscles get in operation. You know, especially if you haven't prayed in a while or been dormant or prayed inconsistently. You know, and then we get into a very consistent mode of God or really seeking after Him, really praying. It seems like it takes about 2 months for those prayer muscles to be activated, and then it really just starts flowing, right? So I just want to just encourage you in that. Practically, I want to say to you that during this time, you know, keep warm, right? It's kind of a bummer that the time that we go and fast is the coldest time in Hong Kong, you know, but that's just life, right? You know, while one is fasting, the fire of metabolism is being fed with low-grade fuel. In other words, all that junk that's in our body. And consequently, your body's not generating its usual heat. You know, the body, therefore, tends to feel cold even more so than normal. You know, and I'm like this. I'm usually very hot-blooded, you know. Like, my hands are always hot. My feet are always hot. You know, like, I hate wearing socks, you know, usually. But I find myself these days wearing socks because I'm burning low fuel, you know, in my body, low-grade fuel. And so I find myself being cold. And so during these times, you know, please do stay warm as much as possible. Make sure you drink plenty of water. You know, according to the medical studies about fasting and whatnot, they ask an individual, if you're doing an extended fast, right, that you should drink at least 2 liters of water a day, right? That someone do the math, you know, or do the U.S. calculation of that. I don't know how many cups that is, you know, but it's, you know, it's quite a bit. And if, as soon as you get it, just shout it out, and so everyone else can hear it. I think it's something in the line of 16 cups of water or something like that. But you guys can look it up online right now, as I see some of you guys doing. And you know, that's okay only for this instance. You can go online. When you shower with warm but not hot water. If you have to take a really hot shower, you'll find your energy totally zapped by the end of the shower. And so warm showers are fine. Try to exercise a little bit as you can. You know, don't try to do too much. You know, my regimen, I just try to do 10 push-ups a day. Right, and I know it doesn't sound like much, and for some of you it sounds astronomical, you know. But for you know, just 10 simple push-ups, just so you know, you don't go overboard. Light exercise, nothing strenuous, right, is recommended. And during this time, stay away from caffeinated drinks, right? Colas, coffee, you know, certain teas. This will probably be the best for you, right? And the next week we'll be talking about fasting again. And on the 22nd. We're going to break the fast together. And so I know that we usually do it on the 23rd, but I know this year is Chinese New Year. And so a lot of our Chinese friends have said, hey, Pastor Sam, can we break it that night? Because there's, you know, they have family dinners or whatnot. And so what we'll be doing is after each service, we'll be setting up the communion table. And if you, and it's not going to be the whole church, but if you are breaking your fast on the 22nd, this year, in order to tend to your family affairs, and that's totally fine, that's very legit, right, then we'll break fast after both services, right? So all you need to do is after the service, just come up to the front and we'll pray for you and you can end your fast that way. For everyone else that's kind of doing it the normal way, we'll end on Monday morning and we'll break communion that time, okay? All right, prayer and fasting changes the world. We're going to read about a 3-day fast by a young lady, right, that and a nation that changed the history of the world. So let's turn to Esther chapter 4. We're going to read this. We'll just end up reading most of this chapter. So let's go to Esther chapter 4, verse 1. Bibles open, iPads open, iPhones, whatever else you have, your Bible. Let's read this together. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, went out in the midst of the city, and wailed loudly and bitterly. And they went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay on sackcloth and ashes. Then Esther's maidens and her eunuchs came and told her, and the queen writhed in great anguish. And she sent garments to clothe Mordecai, that he might remove his sackcloth from him, but he did not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach from the king's eunuchs, whom the king had appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai to the city square in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him in the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. So he gave all him a copy of the text of the edict which had been issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show Esther and inform her and to order her to go into the king to implore his favor and plead with him for her people. Then let's go down to verse 13. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you and all the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish, and who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my maidens will also fast in the same way, and thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for this season, God, in our church, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, the members of this body, God, that, Lord, are laying down legitimate pleasures, God, for the extreme pleasures of knowing you, God, for the extreme pleasures, God, of joining corporately in this church. And so, Father, we ask, God, that you would speak to us right now through the scriptures, God. Speak to us through Esther, God, through Mordecai, Lord, through this event, God, to train us, to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, God. We thank you, Father. We ask that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today, God. I ask that you use me today to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. We bless you, God. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Esther, this book of Esther spawned a holiday. It's a huge feast in the Jewish calendar. This feast is called Purim, if you've heard it before. It's actually one of the most joyous, it is the funnest holiday, right, in the Jewish calendar. The word Purim, actually the word means lots. And what it's referring to is referring to the lottery that Haman used to choose the date for the massacre. You know, so that's what Haman did. He chose lots. He had a lottery, and he specifically chose a date by which he would destroy all the Jewish people. The primary command related to Purim is to hear the reading of the book of Esther, which is known in the Hebrew as the Megillah. It's customary that when they read the book of Esther during the ceremony of Purim, that every time that Haman's name is announced, they would boo, hiss, they would stamp their feet, you know, and thus, you know, continue to talk, you know, rave about the evil of Haman. They would actually make rattle noisemakers, you know, and whenever the name of Haman is mentioned in the service, they would do this. The purpose of this custom was to blot out the name of Haman. Also, they're commanded to eat, drink, and be merry. I know you're excited about that part, but we'll get to that in a moment, right? According to the Talmud, a person is required to drink until he cannot tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai, right? This is one of the only times that they're permitted to get silly drunk, right, according to their tradition. Though opinions differ in their history about, you know, how drunk that really is. In addition to this, the people are commanded to send out gifts of food and drink and to make gifts to charity. Right, so the sending out a food and drink is referred to as a shalat manos, which is literally means the sending out of the portions. According to some Jewish peoples, a common treat at this time is what they call Haman's pockets, and it's a little pastry they hang out to one another. It's a triangular fruit-filled cookie, and supposed to represent Haman's three-cornered hat that he used to wear. It's customary in this time to hold carnival-like celebrations on Purim. They perform plays, parodies, they hold beauty contests. You know, Americans sometimes refer to Purim as the Jewish Mardi Gras, and that's basically what this holiday is. The year Purim this year, I don't know exactly right, but it's around the time of March. You know, it's usually when it hits in the Jewish calendar. This is the joy that comes after. You know, and I know many of us are looking forward to that joy right after this fast, but before Purim. Right, and this is what I want to get to. Before Purim, it's always preceded with a fast. Right? In other words, right, God commands his people, even to this day, right, before the joy, before the celebration, you know, before, you know, the Mardi Gras, before the passing out of the food of you know, men getting drunk and you know, and all these things, before all these things take place, it was always preceded by a fast. You know, and you have to understand, right? And when we look through the scriptures, right, you cannot get away from this. You know, before the blessing of God, you know, before God comes down, before, you know, whatever we may think as the glory of God, or what, before any of these things happen, there's always a sacrifice, right? There's always a sacrifice. You know, before we can have eternal life, before we can receive forgiveness of sins, before we can enjoy the full benefits of the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus came before that. You know, you look at, you know, throughout the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, before revival, before blessing, before anything that happened, there was always a sacrifice. Before Pentecost, it was the disciples gathered, right, in the upper room, praying 40 days, seeking God. There was always a sacrifice, right? Turn to your friend, right? Turn to your neighbor, left and right of you. Say, hey, good looking, right? Before the blessing, there's always a sacrifice. Jun, can you give me some water, please? Thanks. Right? There's just something so significant about that. And friends, I don't ever want you to lose sight of that. You know, because we are such a people of convenience. You know, we're such a people that you know, we like comfort. I mean, who doesn't like comfort? You know, and we'll go through extreme measures, right, that we can be comfortable, right? But there's something about the kingdom of God and the way the kingdom of God works and the way the kingdom of God is established and the way the kingdom of God operates, right? There's always a sacrifice that comes before the glory. You know, I mean, I can't explain it. It's just the DNA of our faith. It's the, you know, this is how God operates. This is what happens. You know, and look all throughout, and some of you guys may be saying, well, you know, I experienced a lot of great things. I'm not really sacrificing, but I guarantee someone is sacrificing in your stead. I guarantee your mom's praying, your dad's praying, your aunt, uncle. Something is operating. Something is at work. Someone is doing something behind the scenes, you know, to go about. Thanks, man. Right, you know, to go about that you are receiving, right, the very thing because someone is sacrificing. You know, I have a friend of mine who's an MK, a missionary kid, and his parents spent many years in the Philippines. And you know, and we'd have very frank talks with one another, and you know, and he would very honestly many times come up to me and say, you know, and when we're having a real heart to heart talk, is yeah, you know, I'm not pulling my weight. You know, I'm living off the prayers of my mom and dad, right? And, you know, and I just turn to him and says, yeah, you're right, man. Someone is sacrificing in your stead. You know, you're a grown man now, right? You've been a follower long enough, right? You should be pulling your own weight by now, right? And he recognizes, even in his immaturity, right, of growing up in the church and whatnot, even in his spiritual immaturity, he recognizes that someone is paying the price, you know, in order for him to walk in the blessing that he's walking in. You know, and, you know, it's about time, friends. You know, let's have a little eye contact this morning here, right? You know, it's about time. You're old enough now, right? You're not a youth group person anymore. You're old enough, right? You've experienced life enough. You know, you've been in the church long enough. And if you're new to church, I'm not speaking to you, okay? And so you can just relax for a moment here, right? But if you've been in the church long enough, right, it's time for you to pull your own weight. Amen? It's time for you to take care of your own business, right? I mean, you can appreciate the prayers of your parents and your aunt and uncles and your pastors and your house church leaders. And it's not like that's going to stop. You know what I mean? You know, that's going to continue on. But it's time that you start pulling your weight and that you start pulling weight for others less fortunate than yourself. Does that make sense? You know, it's about time that we move from being a receiver to a giver. Right? It's about time that we make a transition in our life and start taking responsibility not only for our own lives, you know, but also the lives of others that may not be in the same place that we are, right? That may be struggling with certain things, right? It's time to take it to the next level. Amen? Excuse me for a second. Well, doing this fast, your mouth becomes like cotton. And so we need to be, you know, very aware of this in our life. And this is what we're challenging to. You know, we ask this, the fast is done be Purim. And I want to tell you, right, there's going to be a celebration in your life. God's going to do amazing things through this season. Right, you're going to see, you know, the God who is able to do much more exceedingly abundant than we can ever ask or imagine. And God's going to move in our lives. But preceded by that is a sacrifice. You know, and this is why we do this every year. Right, this is why I challenge you, right? And I ask you to get up early and you know, and to spend a season of time because a sacrifice is needed. Right? A season of coming before the Lord, right? Before the blessings of God can flow throughout this year. And so let's talk about this fast for a moment. You know, and I just have 1, 2, 3, 4 simple points, right, today that we're gonna talk on. Number one, Esther's fast. Esther's fast was a fast of faith. It was a fast of faith. When Esther called this fast, and he called them to the 3 days of neither eating nor drinking this fast, right? She was only able to do so because she was safe in the palace. You know, for her to be in the palace and, you know, in the midst of this, it was actually a non-issue. She was fine. She was comfortable. But, you know, all the other Jewish people that were outside the palace, they had to keep their strength to fight against Haman's decrees. You know, the onslaught had already begun, right? I mean, he was you know, commanded, you know, for Mordecai, you know, and whatnot, but the onslaught had already begun. You know, the enemies had been surrounding them. And can you imagine, right, you're in war? You know, I mean, you're in a battle, and all of a sudden, you know, the queen, who's comfortably in the palace, asked, right, the people of Israel, asked us to fast? I mean, can you imagine how ludicrous that may be? You know, how it just doesn't make any sense? You know, that you know, I mean, I need my strength to fight. I need my strength to carry my shield. I need my strength to carry my sword. You know, I need my strength to be effective in battle. And you're calling us to fast? Yeah. It was a fast of faith. Right? It was a fast of faith. You know, for the Jewish people, for Esther, it was also a fast of faith, because her life was on the line. Because according to the custom of the day, if she was to go before the king, when the king had not, you know, stretched out his scepter or invited her to come, she could be killed immediately on the spot. We don't understand these kind of things, but this is the way it was done during this time. Right? And so she's also risking her life, and so this is also a fast for her. You know, or I should say more precisely that the fast wasn't a fast of faith, but the fast led to the act of faith. You know, and so there was something significant about this. You know, and we are, you know, in the world, and we're working and whatnot. And I've heard many people say this to me, Pastor Sam, I need my wits to be sharp. I need to work, right, focus, and I need to make sure that I'm in my full capacity, you know, in my job. And so I can't fast. You know, I get too sleepy. I get too this. I get too that. I understand all those things. But see, it's a fast of faith. It's a fast of faith. It's a fast that says, I can't do this in my own abilities, but I can as God gives me strength, right? It's something about that, right? This fast was so that we don't depend upon ourselves, but that we depend on God for strength. Listen, let me ask you this question. This year in 2012, if we only do what we can do, then how can we ever experience anything beyond ourselves? Think about that. You know, even as we're talking about fasting, and I've heard the excuses, you know. If we only do what we can do this year, well, I can't do that because, you know, if we don't do or we do or whatnot. If we only do what we can do, how will we ever experience something beyond ourselves? How will we ever go beyond ourselves? Right? How can we ever, you know, seek to follow after God beyond ourselves? You know, one of my goals this year, right, is I want my prayer life to go beyond my ability to pray. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, I have a decent prayer life, right? But, you know, decent prayer life is not going to cut it anymore. I just want to experience so much more of God in prayer than I've ever experienced before. That means I'll need to stretch myself a little more than I've ever stretched myself before. You know, that's how it works. There may be other things in our life, you know, that's a challenge to us. How will we ever experience God in those places in our lives, right, if we don't go somewhere we've never gone before? You know, if we don't enter into something, right? If we only attempt to do what we can do, how will we ever experience something beyond ourselves? You know, Esther's example, right, for the people of Israel to fast, right, whenever they were faced by war, this is what happens. So since then, right, according to their tradition, whenever they came face to face, you know, after Esther's time, the people of Israel entered into a short season of fasting, right? And what that meant with them, the aim of the fast was to affirm that man does not prevail by physical or military strength, but only by lifting their eyes heavenward in prayer so that God would give him the strength to prevail in battle. Isn't that beautiful? You know, they understood this. They understood my strength doesn't come from myself. So they entered, before battle, they entered into a season of fasting, right, to say, Lord, my strength comes from you. It doesn't come from myself, it comes from you. And all I'm going to do is lift my eyes up heavenward, right, and receive strength to overcome, right, and to prevail, because this is not me, God, this is you. You know, this is your battle, right? The battle belongs to the Lord. You know, many of us may be discouraged about fasting, you know, whatnot. Let me ask you something that many of us, that I'll say this way, that are struggling physically with fasting. Are you praying during the same time? You know, I find that a lot of times, you know, in the past when I fasted and not prayed, right, that I struggled physically. But when I fasted and prayed, right, the physical struggles were not that great at all. In fact, they seemed quite easy in many ways. You know, and so make sure that we're also praying in the midst of this. That's also the act of faith. You know, for many of us, this year is a fast of faith. You know, many of you are contending for something, you know, beyond ourselves this year. And if you come out to the morning prayer, you know, I mean, it just boggles my mind these days. You know, I don't know if it's us as a congregation that we're just getting older, you know, which, you know, happens every year, right? We get older every year, and we recognize that. And so I don't know if it's simply because we're getting older, or maybe the church is growing, or I don't know what it is. But, you know, if you come out in the mornings, you know, we pray for about 15, 17 people. You know, our community, I'm not talking about people we don't know, people that we know in our community that is struggling with some form of cancer. I mean, it is astounding. It's mind-boggling. You know, and this time right now, how incredible it is, you know, people, you know, struggling, you know, finding tumors and all kinds of health issues, right? And we're contending for something beyond ourselves. You know, and even, you know, not to sound dramatic or anything like that, even to say that life and death hinges, you know, on this season right now. You know, many of our friends, you know, are their parents, their dads, uncles, aunts, you know, they've received a death sentence from their doctors, right? They said this is the end of the road, right? And literally life and death is hanging in the balance. Again, I'm not trying to be melodramatic or anything like that. I'm just being honest with you guys, right? And so, you know, many of us, this is a fast of faith. You know, this is a season to go beyond ourselves, to pray for something that goes beyond ourselves, right? It's a fast of faith. That's what Esther has here. Number one, the fast of faith. Number two, it's the fast of obedience. It's the fast of obedience. The people of Israel, they had to obey Queen Esther's edict, right? In the middle of battle, in the middle of difficult circumstances, they obeyed Queen Esther's edict. It took faith and obedience. Faith and obedience, right? It was a fast of obedience. I mean, you know, they could have just said, no, I don't want to. The circumstances are too difficult. Forget it, right? It's just not what I want to do. You know, it's not convenient for me, right? This is not the right timing, you know? And we can draw all kinds of different things. But if you know anything from the Scriptures, you know that God always rewards obedience. It even doesn't matter. Even doesn't matter if you say no. You know, the parable that Jesus said, right, the two brothers, you know, one of the brothers said, yeah, I'll go, and he didn't go. One of the brothers says, I'm not going to go, and he ended up going. Right, and Jesus says, which one proved to be faithful? Which one proved to be, you know, righteous, obedient? It was the one that said, he said he didn't, I don't want to go. That's what he said, but he ended up doing it anyway, right? And so there's something about obedience in the kingdom of God that works, that's in operation. You know, we understand this in human terms, right? You know, I mean, you know, for me, you want to see a happy household, you know, in my house, is when my kids obey me. It's just simply put, right? It's just life is just happier. Life is just better. You know, it's just, things just run much more smoother, right? And so, you know, I'm trying to take as much advantage of this as possible, right, before they get a little bit older, you know, and it becomes a little more difficult to obey mom and dad, you know, in these type of things, right? And so we recognize, you know, I mean, you know, think about this. How many of you guys want to be around friends, that you want to hang around with friends all day long that just argue with you all the time? You say left, they say right. You say black, they say white. You know what I mean? You say, let's go Chinese, they go, let's go Japanese, right? I mean, it's just like, you know, and they just, everything, they just don't want to follow along. It's just like, yeah, you're thinking, yeah, I want to hang out with that guy. That's my best friend. Heck no. You lose that guy in a second. You know what I mean? It just doesn't work that way. And there's something about us being able to just walk in obedience, right? This fast was a fast of obedience. You know, and as the people of Israel obeyed, you know, the edict that went out before the queen, things begin to move. Things begin to happen, you know, for us. You know, I mean, I'm no dummy. You know what I mean? I mean, look like it sometimes, right? And say dumb things every once in a while. I ain't no dummy. I know there's some of you in here that you're not convinced about fasting, right? You know, we teach and whatnot. And, you know, and you're part of this church, and you still don't show up for any events, right? You know, things that we go on. I mean, I understand these kind of things, right? You know, I understand, you know, early morning prayer is as foreign to you as Timbuktu. You know what I mean? It's just, you have no concept of what that is. I understand that. But there's something about obedience. You know, there's something, let me be very, very straightforward, very honest, right? There's something about not understanding. There's even something greater about disagreeing and still being obedient. It's a character thing. There's something powerful there. You know, there's something about, you know, you don't understand, and a lot of people not understand, but yet you still obey. There's even a stronger state of character, right, in a person that actually doesn't agree, right, that says, well, I really don't agree with you, Pastor Sam, about this, but you know what? I'm going to do it anyway, right? I'm just going to obey, right? Now, I know that's, you know, that could sound like Hitler or something, right? No, that, you know, that could sound like something kind of crazy, right? But it's not like I'm asking you to kill somebody, or you know what I mean, or I'm asking you to, you know, go steal something from someone. You know, I mean, I think what we're asking is quite legit, especially scripturally, and things. So we understand that. But there's something about, you know, people just saying, you know what? Yeah, I don't really know about this morning prayer thing, or I don't really know about this fasting thing. But you know what? I'm a part of this church, right? This is my fellowship. This is where I not just attend, but this is where that God has called me to be a part of this church. And so I'm all in. I'm in. I don't understand it. In fact, most issues can be quite disagreeable, you know. But you know what? This is my church. I'm in, you know. Simply put, and I'm not saying this as a guilt trip or anything like that, you know, for you that are sitting in this room that may be in that boat, you know, and please don't take it that way from me. Right, but at the same time, if the Holy Spirit's convicting you, then you have an issue with God, right, and not with me, and things. But there's something to be said about that, you know. And like I said, you know, many of us, we may not want to fast or come to morning prayer, you know. But some of us are just doing it to submit to the leadership of the church, you know, and obeying the Lord in that way. It's a simple thing, and then you know what happens. Then the issue actually doesn't become about the act; the issue becomes about submission. That's a whole other ball game, right, for another time, right? And that's really, because that's an issue between now you and God that needs to be reconciled in some way. And I know some of you guys have issues with authority, you know, and all these things. You want to do it your way, and that's your life. You live this way. I understand that, right? But there's something about breaking that in our lives, you know, that you're old enough now, right, and hopefully more mature enough now that you don't have to operate in that mode anymore. You know, there's something about coming in line, right, something about submitting that actually does you incredible good in your life. right? You know, the scriptures in Hebrews tell us to obey, submit to our leaders. You know, I mean, a real simple thing in our life, right? And so it's a fast of obedience. Amen? Number three, I feel like we need to take a little break right now. It's kind of getting hot and heavy in here. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and just smile. Say, God loves you. Pastor Sam loves you. I love you, right? And so, you know, I can feel the pressure in the air, right? The tense feeling. So let's just take a smile break. I give a nice smile from myself to you. This is not a fake one. This is a real one, right? And stuff. And so, but we go to point three. Number three, okay? It's the fast of faith. It's the fast of obedience. Number three, it's the fast of destiny. Verse 14, Esther 4:14. Mordecai says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. If you read the book of Esther, I'll give you a quick synopsis of this, right? In Esther, especially in chapter 2, we see that Esther enjoyed so much favor from the Lord. All right, Esther enjoyed so much favor from the Lord. In verse 2:9, she received favor from Haggai. Right? In verse 15, favor with all who saw her. Verse 17, this is chapter 2, verse 17, favor with the king. Right? And then in chapter 5, verse 2, favor from the king in the court. And so we see that Esther's life was full of favor. From Haggai to the king, to everyone who saw her, God just put something on Esther. You know, I've seen this in many of your lives, you know, that you've attained positions that are beyond yourself. You know, I'm not to say that you're unintelligent or you're not hardworking, right? But that God has promoted you to places that, and if you're going to be perfectly honest, you'd say, yeah, this is beyond me. You know, I mean, I look at myself, you know, here I am, you know, senior pastor, this is beyond myself. I mean, honestly, this is beyond my own abilities. And many of you are in places where God has just put the favor of God over you. You know, in relationships, you know, and you know, you guys that are married right now, turn and look to your spouse. You don't deserve that person. You know, come on, let's be honest. I know myself. I don't deserve my wife. You know, she deserves me, and that's okay. So the ladies, you don't have to say that saying, because most of you are talking about guys here, right? We don't deserve these women that God puts in our lives. You know, I mean, by far we don't. It's just the favor of God. You know, that's why he says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor from the Lord, Proverbs tells us. Right? And so we recognize this, right? We are incredibly blessed. But see, we are blessed to be a blessing. There may be in the midst of the favor, there may be in the midst of the blessing, there may be in the midst of the anointing, that God may have something he wants to do through that. You know? Have you ever thought about that? Right? And it's not like God tricked us. Hey, here's some favor, right? I got something behind me. I'm going to ask you to do something huge, right? No, God just blesses his people. You know, but in our end, there is a responsibility to take the blessings of God, right, and offer it as a blessing to other people. You know, with the whole Jewish people, right, their whole thing is, right, the covenant from Abraham from the beginning. You are a blessing, right? I'm going to bless you. Your name is going to be great, and you will be a blessing. Right? This is what it meant from the beginning of the history of the Jewish people. God said, I'm going to bless the Israelites. I'm going to bless this people so that they could be a blessing to the world around them. You know, in the same way, God looks at us and says, I'm going to put favor over your life. Over Esther, I'm going to put favor over your life. You know, look into each one. I'm going to put the blessing of God over your life. I'm going to bring favor in your work, you know, in your economics, you know, in your family, in relationships, and all kinds of things. I'm just going to shower you with blessings beyond your own abilities. And in the midst of that, there may come a season in our life. There may come a time, you know, and we've heard this. It's such a powerful phrase. For such a time as this, that the blessing of God comes down to such a time as this. You know, and as your pastor, I want to tell you that there are going to be times in your life, right, multiple times, That all these things that you've accumulated, all these things that you've garnered together, experience, wealth, all these things that come, there's going to be moments of such a time as this, right? Where we have to take that step of faith. But more than anything else, it's the step of destiny. In other words, this is what God had called you to do anyway. You know, in Esther, in Luke 12:48, this is what it says. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. To whom they entrusted much, right, of him they will ask all the more. We understand this. To Esther, it was a fast of destiny, right? Because, see, this is the key. We understand the sovereignty of God, right? God is sovereign. In other words, if not Esther, God will use somebody else. I believe that, right? I believe in the high sovereignty of God. You know, that if it's God's will, it's God's bill. God's going to take care of it. You know, I understand that. And so when we think in these terms, you know, this is a fast of destiny because relief and deliverance will arise from another place. But it was Esther's destiny. It was her destiny. It was her call, right? He's sovereign. His will be done, right? But he offers us the privilege of joining him to accomplish his will, right? We can disobey, right? Or we can be ignorant, or we can be silent, and he will use another person. But the key is he wants to use you, right? Because it's your destiny, right? God will use someone else, but no one can do it like you can do it. And that's why he's asked you, right? To Esther, it was the fast of destiny. It opened up something beyond herself, right? It catapulted and launched her, right, into the godly realm, right? I mean, just amazing. So much so that every year they have a feast, a festival in her honor, right, in this calendar, right? This is key, right? God, his will be done. So it doesn't get us off the hook in that way, right? If we disobey, if we're ignorant, we're silent, his will be done. That's who God is, right? He's much bigger than we are, you know? But the simple fact is, friends, is he wants to use you. And the reason why he asked you is because no one can do it like you can do it. That's really the case. No one can do it like you can do it, you know? And so don't turn to anyone else. Turn to yourself and say to yourself, no one can do it like I can do it. You don't have to say it out loud, but if you want to, you can. It's okay. We're not going to think you're weird if you do, right? So number four, the fast of faith, the fast of obedience, the fast of destiny. And number four, it was the fast of victory. The fast of victory. Let's look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 6, 1 and 2. During that night, the king could not sleep, so he gave an order to bring the book of records, the chronicles, and that they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had reported concerning Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who were doorkeepers. They had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?" Then the king's servant who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." Now, when we look at this, the fast of victory, think about this. Do you believe in coincidences, right? I mean, can you imagine this? The people go on a fast, right? You know, things are happening. Things are moving along. They've consecrated themselves. They finish the fast. And then the king happens to not sleep very well. He just happens. What a coincidence, right? He just happens to have insomnia. And so he just happens to go to the library where the scrolls are, and he just happens to pull out this one particular scroll. And as he's reading, because of his insomnia, he just happens to find a chapter in this scroll. And it just happens to talk about, right, this plot that was laid out, and it happens to mention Mordecai, right, who is Esther's uncle. You know, I mean, that's a lot of circumstances coming to work, right? I mean, it's just one thing after another just happens to happen. It's crazy, right? Because it's not circumstances. It's God, right? This is what God does, right? He moves people's hearts, even people that don't know him, Even people that don't have a relationship, God moves people's hearts. God moves people's situations. God moves, right, people's agendas. You know, this past Friday, you know, and thank you for your prayers. I need to make a report to you. I was asked on Friday during the lunchtime to go to attend a ceremony, a building ceremony. And I guess in Cantonese it's called pisan, if you're familiar with the term. And what that is when construction companies, before they commence on a huge construction project, what they do is they burn incense and they pray to the god of Kung and the other female god, I forgot her name, you know, and they put incense and they're basically asking them for protection over the whole project so none of the workers get injured and they can finish on time and these kind of things. Well, I was invited by Projects Asia, who did the renovation for us, you know, that's doing our office renovation, that's actually doing the renovation for the Vine, for their office, and, you know, and because of their good work here, they're getting a lot of work. And so what happened, so I went to the ceremony, you know, they asked me, I read the scriptures, I prayed for them, and, you know, and I just shared about Jesus and how God wants to bless. It was wonderful. You know, the big guys from Hisan, I think that's the company name, you know, there was this Lee Theater Plaza, and they're doing a two-year whole renovation of the whole building. And they got this contract, and I'm not saying that you know, it was us or anything like that. It was obviously God. But when the MD, Steve Grant, when he came and when they were handing over the keys to us for the sanctuary here, and I had a lot of long talks with him, you know, and I shared with him, I says, hey, and I just told him, I says, hey, how's business these days? And I was just, you know, small talk, how's business? And he says, well, it's a bit slow, you know, we need more work, you know, our workers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I just stopped there and says, you know what, Steve, I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to get my church to pray for you. You know, and we have been praying for you to finish the work. We're going to pray that God brings new work to you. You know, so I've been faithfully praying that way, right? And so because the same thing happened at K+K, right? K+K that we're doing all of our work and a lot of work for free. You know, and we started praying for them. It says, we're going to ask God to bless you guys. We're going to ask God to bring you guys so much work. You know, in that year, God brought them after this project or after we started praying for them, God brought them so much work. Right, they had a season where every project, I think there were five projects, big projects they bid for, they got all five of them. You know, and from what they were telling me, that's unheard of. You know, you're lucky to get one or two. You know, and you know, we're not patting ourselves on the back. I'm just letting you know what God does, how God moves people. You know, and so with Projects Asia, I talked to Steve, and I hadn't seen him in a few months, right? So I'm here at the ceremony. I says, hey, so how is it going? How's business? Wow, you got this huge contract. And he turned to me and he says, you know what? I remember you telling me, right, last time we talked, that after, you know, they finished, K+K finished the project, right, that they end up getting so much work. And he turned to me and says, I want to tell you something, that after we had our discussion, we have been getting so much work, right? It's been getting so busy, you know, and so obviously he's in a happy mood, right, and the company's in a happy mood. Again, coincidence? I don't know. What do you think? You think it's a coincidence that happens? You know? Or do you believe that God moves people's hearts? Even, you know, companies that, you know, worship idols? Yeah, I think God moves their heart too. You know, even, you know, people that are in the know that, you know, that may or may not have a relationship with God and still causes, you know, oh yeah, I want you guys to do this bid. Isn't that amazing, isn't it? Right? It's absolutely amazing. Right? God does that, just like God touched this king. You know, it's like he happens, you know, to have insomnia. Happens to open up a book. It happens to be in this chapter. Happens to talk about Mordecai. Right? And right then, in the same time, if you recontinue on, right, after that, the king asks who's in the court, and guess who shows up, right? Haman, who wants to kill Mordecai. We're like, oh, there's something going on here. It just happens. All these coincidences seem to happen in this place. Right? But it was a fast of victory. Right? Listen here. What's the result? I mean, you want to talk about a decisive victory. You know, think about it in this way. I mean, don't dwell too long, but think about someone you don't like. All right, just go ahead. Just think about someone you don't like. Maybe Paris Hilton, or I don't know, someone like that, right? It doesn't have to be a person. Just think about someone. Don't think about too long, because then you don't commit sin, right? But think about someone that you don't like too much, right? Think about what would be the greatest justice done. you know, in this situation, right? Maybe someone has really wronged you. You know, I'm not talking about, maybe it's a bad illustration, you know, I'm not talking about revenge or anything like that. But just think in Haman's terms, right? This is someone that has just, you know, wanted to kill Mordecai, wanted to kill the people of Israel, just wanted destruction, was just really mad, you know. Look at the result. This is the fast of victory. Look at the result. Haman built gallows, right? In other words, he built a structure that he may hang Mordecai, but Haman is hanged on the gallows prepared for Mordecai. That is the decisive victory. It goes on. Mordecai is promoted to Haman's position. Haman wanted to kill Mordecai. Mordecai takes over Haman's position. Haman's house is given to Esther, right? So you're talking about his possessions now are now in the property of Esther. Mordecai is given the signet ring of the king. In other words, right, he is given the authority to lay out decrees. The decree is reversed. But see, listen, the decree is not only reversed, there's actually benefits that happen in the decree. You know what the benefits are? Now the Jewish people are given the right to assemble. They're given the right to defend. They're given the right to kill their enemies. And they're given the right to plunder their spoils of their victory. Before this happened, they were not given that permission. They were not given the permission to assemble. They were not, you know, permitted the position, right, to protect themselves or to kill their enemies, right, or to take the plunder of their victory, right? But, you know, is this a decisive victory? I mean, you can't get more victorious than this, right? What you prepare for, you know, Haman, for his enemy, becomes the place where he dies. His position is given to his arch nemesis. His house is given to his arch nemesis, you know, niece, right? The people that you hate, you know, all of a sudden are given more rights than they had before, right? I mean, this is just amazing. This was a fast, a victory. You know, this was a decisive victory, right? And this is, you know, I believe this is what God's going to bring to us. Right, something that goes away above and beyond. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. This is what he says. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, this is what he says. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. See, God is telling us through the Apostle Paul, says, look, God will grant us the victory. Therefore, keep fighting. Keep fighting. Be steadfast, immovable. Don't move from where you're at. Be strong and courageous, because the work, the labor, the fast, the prayers, the giving, whatever it is that you offer up to the Lord, that service is not in vain in the Lord. What Paul is telling his people, what God is telling us through Esther, is God is going to do it. He's going to do it, right? It's our destiny. It's our victory. It's going to be done. And so let's remain strong. Amen? Amen? It's the fast of faith, the fast of obedience, the fast of destiny, and the fast of victory. Let's close our eyes. This morning, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let's open up our hearts to Him. Let's open up our resolve and say, Lord, let this fast be a fast of faith. For some of you, it may be a fast of obedience. Others, it may be a fast of victory or of destiny. But let's submit that before the Lord right now. if you're unable to. I know, if you're pregnant, please don't fast. Right? If there are some issues, we understand that. We know. It's okay. But you can always pray. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Let Him be the one that leads us in this. And then give yourself to the Lord. Just begin to identify. Draw us to you in this place right now. Lord, fill us with Holy Spirit. Allow us, God, to step into something beyond ourselves, God. Lord, forgive us if we're only doing what we can do. We want to step into something beyond ourselves, Lord. This year, God, the year of prayer. So help us, God. But I don't want to be the same. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So lead us, we pray, oh God. Lead us, Lord. I encourage you to take some time right now. Just take care of business with God. Whatever that may be, whatever that means to you, take care of business with God. Allow His presence to come and to overwhelm us. To our feet and sing this as an anthem to the Lord, the deepest cry of our heart before God. Thank you. next to you, if you're able. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, today. Lord, we thank you for this season, God, that you brought our church into, God. We pray, Lord, that we would grab a hold, God, of our destiny, Lord, individually and as a church. For the very things that you want to do with us and through us, God, and to us, Lord. And Father, we confess to you, God, that we've been in many ways, God, or taking the easy way. We've been in many ways, God, just settling and doing what we can do on our own, God. But Lord, we want to change. God, I want to change. Lord, I want to step into something that only you can do, God. Lord, only when that happens can a dying world see God at work. We don't want to be just a bunch of nice people that do nice things, God. Or we want to be people, God, that do something beyond ourselves. And so we're asking you, God, to lead us, God, to guide us. Take us beyond ourselves, Lord. Take us out of our comfort zones, Lord, to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it already has been done in heaven. Lord, you have incredible things for Hong Kong, for Asia, God. Lord, for us, and we call those things forth, God, through this season of fasting, Lord. We thank you, Father. Draw us to you, God. Lord, we're hungry, God, but we're more hungry for you. So satisfy the longing deep within us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Would you hug your neighbor next to you, say, God bless you. See you soon in the morning. Please enjoy some liquid refreshment in the back. Right, have a great week this week.